You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Why in the world did John cry over Revelation's unopened seven-seal scroll? And by the way, what is that scroll? Now, the Apostle John cried like a baby when it seemed like no one in heaven could open the famous seven-sealed scroll in Revelation chapter 5 and 6. So obviously, John knew what the scroll was and that it was important. You don't cry for nothing. This makes the seven-sealed scroll one of the most important and mysterious items in Revelation. But you know, the church has forgotten what it means. John knew, or he wouldn't have cried over it not opening. But most scholars today, they don't know. They just kind of guess. But you can know with confidence what that scroll is, because in today's teaching, we're going to explain it. Now, there are a whole bunch of cases of biblical amnesia in the church today. Portions of the Bible that were understood one time, when they were written 2,000 years ago, and now are kind of clouded over as forgotten memories. Want to know why we have so many arguments in the church? That's a big reason. We've forgotten a lot of what people already knew and understood back in Bible days. The opening of the scroll and the events that immediately follow it, you know, trumpet judgments and the seven visions, they comprise all of Revelation 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. This is nearly half the book of Revelation, so understanding it is absolutely key to end time understanding and timing. Now, in today's world of Bible scholarship, almost everyone who thinks about the scroll centers their thinking on the seals that are on the scroll. Who are the riders of the four colored horses? When does the wrath of God begin, etc.? But if we only knew what the purpose of that scroll was, what happens when it opens, then the answers to these other questions would be a lot easier to figure out. This is Bible teacher Nelson Walters, and in today's teaching, we're taking it right out of our book, Revelation Deciphered, our most popular book. We put a link down in the description if you want to pick up a copy, an ebook, or even an audiobook to listen to in the car, you know? But like we said, John knew exactly what this scroll was. He cried when initially he was told that no one was worthy to open it up. That's Revelation 5:4. It was a major disappointment to him, enough to make a grown man cry. But when we look at the seals of the scroll being opened, what do we see? War at the second seal, famine at the third, death at the fourth, martyrdom at the fifth. It doesn't seem like the kind of things that John would like to have hurried up. It seems like he would like to postpone them. Not cry because it wasn't opened. Yet crying is exactly what he did. And he was so sure his readers would also understand its identity and why it's staying sealed made him cry, but he didn't bother to identify it by name. This is also a huge clue as to what the scroll is. John knew without being told, and he assumed his readers would know too. Let's keep that in mind. Common folk in John's day would know what a seven-sealed scroll was because it was something specific. We'll get to that in a bit. But luckily, the Bible is just full of clues as to what this scroll is for folks like you and me who grew up at a time when the identity of such scrolls is forgotten. First clue is that when John shows us this scroll, he is referring to a passage in Daniel. Let's look at the two passages. In Revelation 4:1, John is called up to heaven in a vision, in a spirit. He isn't physically in heaven. Neither was Daniel 500 years earlier, but God let them both see the same scene, the throne room in heaven. Are these visions the same? Did Daniel and John see the same scene? We're saying they did. Daniel's vision of the throne in heaven is found in Daniel chapter 7, and it's broken up into three segments, verses 9 and 10, 13, 14, and then an angelic explanation of what was going on in 26 and 27. Interspersed between these segments of heavenly visions are the events that are occurring on the earth when the visions are taking place. So first we're given a view of the events on the earth, then we see heaven. We view more events on earth, again we see heaven. Let's examine that first segment, though, of Daniel's heavenly vision. I beheld until the thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days sat, and his raiment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was pure wool. His throne was a flame of fire, and his wheels burning fire. A stream of fire rushed forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered to him, and 10,000s of myriads attended upon him. The judgment sat, and the books were opened. That's Daniel 9:2-10, and that happens to be the LXX translation. The focus of the first part of this vision is on a heavenly court being seated and scrolls being opened. Now, what is going to stun you is this scene in heaven is the same identical scene as chapters 4 and 5 in Revelation. Daniel and John got to see the same thing. Daniel recorded it in two verses that we just read, and John recorded it in two full chapters, chapters 4 and 5, but they're the same thing. Let me show you why. On the screen, you could see a table with six identical points in both visions. This is no accident. Thrones are set up. God is seated. God's appearance is the same in both. The throne's appearance is the same. The number of attendants is the same. In fact, in Revelation 5:11, it's a word-for-word quote of Daniel 7:10. Word-for-word. That's no accident. The use of the exact words in the Greek, thousands upon thousands and myriads upon myriads in Daniel 7:10 and Revelation 5:11, is John's way of telegraphing his intentions to the reader of his day that these visions are one and the same. He's saying, hey, I'm giving you a bigger explanation of what Daniel told us in Daniel chapter 7. And then in both visions, we see that scrolls are opened. Six identical similarities and one direct quote. We can be sure that Daniel and John in Revelation saw the same scene, just 500 years apart. And, you know, it was way in the future. This event still hasn't happened yet. In Revelation, we learn that one of these scrolls is the seventh sealed scroll, whose identity we're searching for. And since these scenes are the same in Daniel and Revelation, we can figure out what the scroll in Daniel was, what it accomplished. Revelation's scroll will be the same. And only a few verses later, the result of the judgment of the court is made known in the book of Daniel. I beheld in the night vision, and lo, one coming with the clouds of heaven as the Son of Man. And he came on to the Ancient of Days, and was brought near to him. And to him was given the dominion, and the honor, and the kingdom. And all the nations, tribes, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. Daniel 7:13-14, and again, it's the LXX. It is very clear that a transfer of power has occurred and the kingdom has passed to the Son of Man. The passage also indicates that this is the last time that power is going to transfer. Jesus' dominion will be everlasting. Daniel was confused and asked the angel, giving him the vision, for an explanation. The angel then replied later in the chapter, and the judgment has sat, and they shall remove his, and by that he means Satan and the Antichrist dominion, to abolish it and to destroy it utterly. And the kingdom and the power and the greatness of the kings that are under the whole heaven were given to the saints of the Most High. And his, Jesus's kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom, and all powers shall serve and obey him. And in the book of Daniel, from what we saw, the opening of the scrolls appear to be the impetus for this transfer of power. And Daniel helps explain Revelation to us, as we said before. In Daniel's vision, we saw the thrones were set up and the books opened. all part of a divine heavenly courtroom scene. And then we saw the results of that judgment a few verses later. The kingdoms of this world are going to be transferred from Satan to Jesus and the saints. So if that is what happens in Daniel, the same thing is going to happen in Revelation. But when does that happen? In the book of Revelation, when does the kingdom really get transferred? In Revelation, at the seventh trumpet. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Sounds like a song, huh? Revelation 11:15. So that's why John was crying, because he was afraid that the kingdom Jesus won on the cross would not be transferred from Satan to Jesus and the saints. No matter what Satan throws at the world to try to stop the scroll from opening, war, famine, death, martyrdom, the result's worth it. Jesus being crowned king. The scroll obviously has a purpose in the transference of the dominion and power from Satan to Jesus. That's why John was crying. And that answers question one. John was crying so that the kingdom would come. But what about question two? How did John and the readers of his day know what this scroll was? And this question is just as important as the first one. We should start every Bible study with, what did the verses mean back then? And then ask ourselves, how does that meaning apply to us today? If we don't intentionally think about their situation, the people who were originally writing it, reading it, we will assume whatever modern theories that we come up with today. If we do not intentionally think about their situation, we'll assume our own. So what did a seven-sealed scroll mean back in John's day? It was a will or an inheritance. When the will was drawn up, they would bring in seven witnesses. Each would affix their seal to the document. And when it was opened, they would attest that it was their seal. This was a proof of authenticity for a will back in those days. But who was it who died so the will would be opened? Think about it. Jesus. And that's exactly what Revelation says. Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain. There's the death, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Revelation 5:9. Hebrews 9:15 speaks of this same thing. Therefore, he, Jesus, is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. See, it's a will. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. So, this scroll is an inheritance scroll, our inheritance that Jesus is going to share with the saints. The fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant promised to Abraham and his descendants 4,000 years ago when God walked between the cut pieces of animals. It is the title deed to Israel, in other words. Originally deeded in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, they lost it to Satan when they fell, and he held that title to the earth from then until Jesus won it back from him on the cross. But Jesus has delayed opening the will and inheritance so that everyone who will be saved can be saved. But that day is rapidly approaching. I want to fill you in on one more really special item about wills and inheritances that you're going to find absolutely amazing. It has to do with the Greek word hypostasis. Now, that's an interesting key to further understanding title deeds. This word traditionally is translated substance or assurance, and I bet you know a very famous verse that it's found in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance, and that's the Greek word hypostasis, of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You probably know that verse. A recent discovery of a chest with many title deeds inside it was found in northern Israel, and on the outside of a chest was the title, hypostasis. Did this Greek word have a relationship to title deeds? Did they call these type of deeds assurances? The owner of the property might never see the land for which they had the deeds, but they had the assurance that they owned them by means of these deeds. If we substitute the word title deed into the famous verse in Hebrews, we're going to get this paraphrase: faith is the title deed of things hoped for. We might die before that title deed is opened by Jesus, but we have the assurance that we will see it and we will see that inheritance when we're raised from the dead. So I think the evidence is very strong that this scroll is man's inheritance.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.